إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يحده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أما بعد فإن الخير والحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. There was an incident which occurred at the time of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in which he came across a group of his companions, and they were in a very agitated state, they were in a very fearful state, discussing the issue of the Dajjal. As we do when we speak about the Dajjal amongst ourselves, we get very frightened, we get very agitated, and the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, were no different than us. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to us while we were discussing about the Dajjal and said, "Should I not inform you about that which I fear for you even more than the dangers of the Dajjal? It is hidden shirk. A person stands to pray and he beautifies his prayer because he sees the people looking at him." My dear brothers and sisters, today's topic of the khutbah is riya, or showing off. And it is a disease which the Prophet ﷺ was more frightened of for his ummah than he was than the dangers of the Dajjal. Why? Because the Dajjal, when he comes, his fitan, his evil, his trials and tribulations will affect only a group of the ummah who will be alive at that time. Whereas riya, showing off, will affect all the Muslims of all generations of all times. It is a disease which is so dangerous by which it can nullify completely an individual's Islam. From a Sharia point of view, riya, showing off, is performing acts which are pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for other than Allah, or for the pleasure of other than Allah, or for the praise of other than Allah. And it is a corruption of our intention. And where is the intention? Where is the seat of the intention? The seat of the intention, as we all know, is in the heart. It is not on the lips, but it is in the heart. And it is so subtle that if we are not careful, it can easily enter into our heart and corrupt our intention from initially being for the sake and pleasure of Allah to seeking the pleasure and the praise of the people. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, "I am so self-sufficient that I am in no need of having any associate. Thus, he who does an action for someone else's sake as well as mine will have that action rejected by me to him whom he associated with me." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so self-sufficient that he is in no need of having any partners. And he is not prepared and he is not willing to share any of our worship with any other than himself. He's not prepared to share it at all. And on the day of judgment, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what we believe to have been good deeds, which we have shared with other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which we seek the praise of the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will renounce that deed. He will reject that deed. And He will inform us, "Go and look for its reward with him whom you shared this action with me." So it will be a calamitous situation for the slave. It will be a calamitous situation for the individual who is found in this predicament. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from it. And continual riya, continual showing off, like I said at the beginning, can take an individual out of the fold of Islam and can nullify our Islam completely and will instill in the heart hypocrisy. And as we know, nifaq, hypocrisy, is the greatest sin. Actually, it is a punishment which is worse than the punishment of kufr and disbelief. As we know, the hypocrites will dwell in the deepest depths of the hellfire, for which it is reserved specifically for them. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, in which he informs us that on the day of judgment, the first of people who will be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the shaheed, is the martyr, who died on the battlefield. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform him of all the blessings that he gave this individual, and then he will ask him, and what did you do for me? What did you do in return of these blessings, these multiple blessings that I've bestowed upon you? So the martyr will say that, verily I fought and I died for your sake. So this is a great claim that this man is making, that I fought and I died for your sake. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, you have lied. Imagine the state of this individual who has hidden his intentions in the deepest depths of his heart. No one was aware of them. And he thought that he could fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on that day, you have lied. Verily, you fought so that people may say, what a courageous man you were. And what a brave man you were. And the people said it. So what he intended, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. He wanted the people to say that he was brave, and the people said he was brave. And then he will order the angels to drag him on his face. Not just drag him to hellfire, but drag him on his face until he is thrown into the hellfire. The second man, the second type of man, the second type of person who will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the alim, is the one who learned the Qur'an, and he recited the Qur'an, and he taught the Qur'an. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inform him of the multitude of blessings that he bestowed upon him. And then he said, what did you do in return? And the man will say, verily, I learned your book, and I taught it, and I recited it for your pleasure. Again, his secrets deeply hidden within his heart. No one knew about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will say to him, you have lied. You learnt my book, you recited my book, you taught my book, so that people may say of you, what a great reciter, what a knowledgeable person, what a great scholar. And the people said it. Again, what he intended, Allah gave him. And again, he will order the angels to drag this man upon his face and throw him into the hellfire. And the final category of man will be the man who was blessed with a great amount of wealth and he used to spend it in the path of Allah. And we can picture what's going to happen. We can picture the conversation again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs him of his many blessings. He asks, what did you do in return? The man said, verily, I left no path unturned except that I spent wealth for your pleasure. And again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this man, verily, you have lied. What your intention was, what the secret behind your charitable giving was, that you wanted people to say that you were a charitable person, that you were a giving person. And the people said it. Again, what he wanted, Allah gave it to him. And again, he will order the angels to drag this individual and throw him into the hellfire upon his face. The scholars have described riya as a form of minor shirk, a form of joining partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we stand up to perform an act of worship, we do so with the intention of pleasing other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is one of the most destructive sins, even more destructive than the trial and the fitan of the Dajjal. And no one is safe from it. No one is safe from it. Men are guilty of it as well as women. Scholars can be guilty of it as well as the layperson. The king and the poor man. Every person within the ummah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam can and is susceptible to this destructive sin of showing off. And when does it, or when can it enter into the action of the slave? So the scholars have explained at various points at which an individual can fall into this sin. And the first one they say, and by far the most destructive and the most dangerous, is before even doing the deed of worship, before even performing the act of worship, the man has the intention in his heart to do so for the pleasure or for the praise of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs this type of hypocrisy and completely rejects it, and its punishment is nothing other than the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالًا يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسُ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the hypocrites, the people who have said La ilaha illallah with their tongue, but in their heart they have disbelief. And this is a proof in and of itself that the intention is never upon the tongue. The intention when we stand up to perform an action is never upon the tongue. It is always within the heart. So when we stand up for prayer, it's not necessary to have the intention upon our tongue, but what is vital is that we have the intention in our hearts. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the prayer of the hypocrite when he says, when they stand for prayer, they stand lazily to be seen of men, and they do not remember Allah except a little. So the description of the hypocrite's prayer is that firstly, they pray in a lazy manner. Their whole standing is just sloth and laziness and tiredness. And they stand to be seen by the men. They stand to be seen by people. Oh yeah, I see him. He comes regularly to the masjid. Oh yeah, I see him. Yeah, he prays. I know him. But that's what they want. They want to be seen by the people. And they do not remember Allah in their prayer except a little. Their mind is upon the dunya. Their mind is upon everything other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This type of riyah, this type of showing off, really, truly cannot reside in the heart of anyone other than a hypocrite. A Muslim, a mu'min, cannot intentionally set out to perform an act of worship for other than the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will completely reject this form of worship on the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, Allah the Exalted will say to those who practice riyah, when He is taking account of people's deeds, go to those whom you used to show off your deeds to, and see if you will find any reward with them. Of course, on that day, the reward and the punishment will only be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one will have the ability to reward and punish mankind except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending this man on a completely and utterly fruitless journey, of which there will be nothing but the punishment and the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Riyah, showing off, can enter into the action after the person has started the action. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us in the very beginning, the first hadith which I mentioned, a person stands to pray and then he beautifies his prayer because he sees the people looking at him. So initially he stands to pray for the pleasure of Allah, but maybe then he realizes, you know what, they're looking at me. I'm right in the front row. Everyone's focus is on me. So let me make my standing a little bit longer. Let me make my ruku that much more beautiful and that much more longer. Let me go into sajda in a very beautiful manner. Let me stay in sajda in a very peaceful manner. Let me make my sajda a little bit longer. And he does this not for the pleasure of Allah, but because he realizes that people are watching him and he wants the people to think highly of him. I remember listening to a very funny anecdote of Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, in which he says that he was speaking to somebody and he said, you know, I was in the masjid and I was the only person in the masjid at that time. And I stood up for prayer. And then as I was praying, I heard behind me that the masjid door flipped open and then it closed. And it occurred to me that somebody's coming. Somebody else is coming to the masjid. So he said, I had the evil thought that I beautify my prayer for, you know, make it a bit longer, now people are watching me. And alhamdulillah, he seek refuge in his prayer from the shaitan, and he performed his prayer, inshallah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. When he finished the prayer and he gave salams, he turned around and he noticed that it was a cat which had come into the masjid. And it wasn't a person. And very quickly, shaitan could have taken all the reward for this beautiful action of prayer, which he performs from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the praise of a cat. Of course, absolutely ridiculous. But this is the mindset, and this is how shaitan puts into the heart of man the want and the love of praise. And if we catch this in time, then we can remove it from our intention. We can remove it from the heart. And if we catch it in time, we can make istighfar and we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and that action will still be accepted. However, if we allow such thoughts to enter into our hearts and allow them to fester in our hearts, then this is a very problematic issue, in which case we need to remember the hadith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which he says, I am in no need of any associate, I am completely self-sufficient, so whoever does a deed for other than myself will have it rejected on that day of judgment. And showing off, what we need to understand again is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? Allah is the King of Kings. Allah is the creator of the heavens and the earth. There are not sufficient enough words for me to inform to you in this khutbah the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what we need to do is we need to recall the greatness and the magnificence of our Lord and realize the poverty of everyone else and everything else in creation. That the ones that we seek to please are the ones who themselves are slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and are the ones themselves who are seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are completely incapable of bringing any benefit or harm to us. But rather the one who can reward us an infinite amount of reward, and the one who can punish us an infinite amount of punishment, is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once the Muslim remembers this, he realizes, you know what? Why am I trying to please these people, when the one who truly deserves to be pleased is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we remember the hadith, actions are but by intention. So we remind ourselves and we purify our intentions, and we do so for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So the next category or the next point in which riya, showing off, can enter into the intention of a slave with regards to an act of worship is obviously seeking the praise of the people after the action has been done. Or not necessarily seeking the praise, but being praised by the people after the action has been done. So it was mentioned to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, O Messenger of Allah, sometimes I do something good and then the people praise me for it. So for example, and we've all been in a similar situation where we've given charity or we've helped do something good or we've performed a good action, and the action was purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't for the pleasure or the praise of anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then we find people praising us for that action. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam explained to us, that this is good news. This is good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that your action has been accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a preliminary reward that you're getting in this dunya. That yes, your action was for purely for his sake, and as a preliminary reward and as a form of acceptance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing the people to praise you for this action. Remember, the person is not seeking the praise of the people when he did the action, but rather it was a subsequent reaction to his worship that the people are praising him for. And this is, there's no harm in this at all. And like I said, this is something which is a good sign, bi-idhnillah ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that our actions were purely for him. And we need to remember that we know when we perform an action what our true intention was. And one of the signs of being sincere, and this is very important to remember, one of the signs of being sincere in our worship is feeling that we are insincere. And always checking our actions. And always fearful that our actions were not purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as we get into a state or into a level where we think we are completely sincere and every action that emits from my body is only for the sake of Allah and I don't need to worry about showing off, that is the time we need to be truly concerned. Or we don't even give it a second thought. We never even reflect upon our actions and think to ourselves, was this purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or was this for other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we're in that state, this is the first sign of danger, that the individual needs to continuously check. And I remember speaking to my teacher, and you know, I was saying, no, I'm not sure with regards to my sincerity, I'm always finding myself not confident that the action that I've done. And he said, alhamdulillah, there's nothing wrong, and this is a sign of a Muslim. This is what everyone goes through. It's not just you. Every Muslim goes through this with regards to the actions he does for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a good sign, and the sign that you are checking and continuously checking that your pleasure, your worship is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth point to mention is acts of worship which result in worldly benefit versus the praise of the people. Okay? Acts of worship which are done for worldly benefit versus acts of worship which are done seeking the praise of the people. The first one, my dear brothers and sisters, is allowed, and the second one completely and utterly prohibited and punishable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we have a Qur'an teacher. He comes to our door and he teaches our children. And when it comes to giving him his money, we say, brother, you know, this is for the sake of Allah. Why don't you take £10 less? Why are you corrupting your intention with money? No, you should do this for the fi sabilillah. Similarly, when we give charity, we want to make sure that every single penny of our money is going towards a charitable cause. And we don't want the charity to take a single penny. We want them to provide for their own marketing. We want them to provide for their own professionals which they use. We want them to pay for everything, their infrastructure, their buildings, their IT equipment. And we don't want to help them one single bit. Is 100% of my donation going to this cause? Otherwise I'm not interested in giving you any money. And we completely forget that we need to pay professional people to have our charities run in a professional manner. If you pay peanuts, you will get monkeys. If you pay nothing, you will get very little done. So our charities need to be assisted, need to be helped. So if they take some portion of our donation, which is allowed, which the scholars have said is allowed, then we shouldn't get into too much of a humph and a grump. Because, you know, we somehow think that Allah will not reward my £1 donation unless it goes completely to my brothers in Syria or my sisters in Palestine or whatever. And if somehow the charity take any share in it, then my reward is somehow diminished with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a foolish way of thinking of things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can and does and will reward us for every piece of good that we do. And helping our charities run, helping them get professional help, helping them, you know, if there is a manager who's 24/7, who's full-time employed, what harm is there if he takes a salary? But what we do is we use our limited knowledge and we say, fi sabilillah, do this, why aren't you doing this fi sabilillah? When we're the last people to do anything fi sabilillah. We ourselves are the last people to do anything fi sabilillah, yet we're going round dictating to everyone, you should be doing this fi sabilillah, why are you taking money from the charity? There is no harm. Hajj packages, again, similar. You know, it takes a lot of time and effort to arrange Hajj and Umrah tours. It's not easy, not anyone can do it. And if the company takes a profit, then alhamdulillah, there's no harm in that. However, if I set up a charity, or if I give charity, or if I do an act of worship seeking the praise of the people. That is completely and utterly forbidden in Islam. Yet we somehow have got it back to front. As long as there's not money involved, we think it's okay. If he does it for the praise of the people, so what? But if he's doing it for £10 an hour, no, that he, you know, you've got to question his Islam. This is topsy-turvy thinking. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who lets the people hear of his good deeds intentionally to win their praise, Allah will let the people know his real intention. And he who does good things in public to show off and win the praise of the people, Allah will disclose his real intention and humiliate him." So the intention that we believe is hiding in the deepest depths of our heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make manifest and it will be shown clearly to the people. However, similarly, those people who do actions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will cause the hearts and the love of the people around him to gravitate towards him, to have love for this individual, to see the goodness of the individual, to praise the person, even though he himself is not seeking their praise. And one of the litmus tests with regards to our own action is, do we get upset when people don't praise us after we've done a good action? If we get upset, you know, year after year, day after day, week after week, month after month, I'm doing this for the people and they don't say anything to me. They don't even say thank you to me. They don't even praise me. Then this is a major problem. Then you need to check your intention. You need to check your heart. But if you do so and you don't care whether the people praise you or whether they don't praise you, then alhamdulillah, this is a good sign. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this with regards to those who give in charity and those who help. And they say, their reply is, we don't seek your reward, nor do we seek your praise. But we do so only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that we're looking for you to praise us. We're not bothered about your praise, but rather we care for the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we need to check if this is the case with us or not. So how to protect oneself from riya? We always check our intention. Like I said, the Muslim is one who is always fearful of his intention. He never categorically says, 100% for the sake of Allah, I'm okay. But he's always fearful that this showing off can enter into his actions. Having knowledge, you know, knowledge is a cure for so many spiritual diseases. And like I said, remembering Allah's greatness and remembering the poverty of everyone else around us, make sure that our intention is made purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Constantly making dua and asking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Musa al-Ashari radiallahu anhu reports that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a sermon to them one day and said, O people, fear shirk, fear this shirk, fear riyah, for it is more inconspicuous than a crawling of an ant. You know, so tiny that you can hardly see it. And in another narration he said, it is more difficult to perceive than a black ant crawling on a black rock in a moonless night. So it's very difficult, and the Muslim has to continuously check his or her intention before setting out on an act, and making sure throughout that act that his intention is made purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remains so. Because it is, you know, very difficult to perceive showing off when it performs. Making the dua which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ashruka bika shay'an wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka mimma la a'lam. Oh Allah, I seek refuge with you from knowingly associating partners with you, and I seek forgiveness from you for that which I am unaware of. And finally, doing acts of worship behind closed doors as well as publicly. That is why one of the wisdoms of the Prophet ﷺ is to advise us to pray, for example, our sunnah prayers at home. You know, we're not always doing them out in public in front of the people, but rather doing them behind closed doors purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing what we, behaving in a like manner as we do outwardly, as we are inwardly. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people will come on the day of judgment with good deeds like the mountains of Tihama, and Allah will make their deeds like scattered dust. The companions asked, will they not be Muslims? He replied, of course. They will have prayed as you pray. They will have fasted as you fast. They will have spent in charity from the excess wealth and will have given their portion of the night. However, when they were alone, they would violate the sanctuary of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They would perform the haram behind closed doors. So this is something which we don't want to fall into. Again, dear brothers and sisters, riya and sins like this, we seem to shrug them off and think they're unimportant, but these are amongst the destructive sins. These are amongst the sins which completely and utterly destroy our good deeds. And we need to keep away from them, we need to be aware of them, and we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects us from such sins. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت واستغفرك وأتوب إليك أقيم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر